In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." The word of God for the people of God.
I'm going to read our lesson from Isaiah. It comes from chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. Hear these words. "A shoot will come from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor on earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard lie down with the goat, and calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young who will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of knowledge of the Lord, and the waters cover the sea. And in that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious." Here in the reading of God's holy word, thanks be to God. Would you bow your heads now and pray with me? O Lord, my God, my rock, and my redeemer, I praise you once again for the opportunity to stand in this your church, in this your pulpit, to have read your sacred scriptures, and now to share my testimony. Amen. Friends, when we had our Advent wreath lit today, we lit the second purple candle. And that candle was the candle of peace. And so this is a Sunday where we want to center our hearts on peace and the peace that God gives us at Christmas and throughout the year. Now, this is also a Sunday in the church year where we read this scripture that Nancy read to us from Matthew about John the Baptist. John, who was the cousin of Jesus that came before him. And the things that John said very starkly, things like, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." Things like, "Every tree that doesn't bear fruit is going to get cut down and its wood thrown into the fire." John, who said that one more powerful than I is going to come. And repent, yes, the kingdom of his hand. And so today we have this message of John the Baptist to repent, and we have this Sunday that we celebrate peace. And together, we try to make sense of how do these two themes work together in our worship today. You know, when we think of what Nancy read of John the Baptist and the message he had, it was a very forceful message. And so today, let's just remember that message as we see John the Baptist in that setting.
But 3 days' journey to the east, the people of Israel were already gathering to hear a man tell of a higher power than Pilate or of Rome itself. An intense man come from the wilderness to the banks of the Jordan, a man fearing neither Tiberius nor Herod, but with the courage to proclaim,
"There is but one authority, and that is Jehovah, the Almighty God. Give witness to him. Repent your sins. The kingdom of heaven is at hand."
It was written by the prophets, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Now I say to you, the day of the coming is close upon you. Woe unto those who are unprepared. Let each man look into his own heart, consult his soul, and find his own answer. Hear this warning, you who are proud in your robes of self-righteousness. Take heed, those who are arrogant with the strength and carelessness of youth. Think carefully, you who are devout in semblance only, but sinful within your hearts. The day is coming when you will stand alone before his judgment. On that day there will be neither slave nor master, neither subject nor king. In his eyes there will be only the worthy and the unworthy. Hear me, children of Israel, the time is short and the wickedness of our land is great. The seven deadly sins rage through Palestine like a plague, from the humblest hut to the greatest palaces. Aye, even in the halls of the mighty there is no light.
Do you dare to speak against the Tetrarch?
I speak against sin, be it Herod's or any man's.
Not yet.
But even if a man has sinned as grievously as Herod, or flaunted an evil life, as has this woman he calls a wife, there is still time to repent, to be cleansed by the waters of baptism.
We get this fiery sermon from John the Baptist today, and then we have this theme of peace. And we wonder, how do these two things work together, and what is it that Scripture is trying to tell us about this? Well, being in a right relationship with God, repenting and turning to him, and having peace go hand in hand. You know, think of how peace and the kingdom of heaven sometimes are so far away. Think of how the people that you know, or maybe even yourself, who live in fear or are seeking for that peace or afflicted with things and can't find those peace. Yet, we know there are people that deal with a variety of problems but still are able to hope and love, and peace radiates from them. And so our question is, how do we find that? How do we get there? Well, if you look at the world and what the world does, we don't find peace by wars or treaties or alliances or bombings or assassinations. Those things only buy us peace for a time. And if you think about our own history as a country, it seems like we've gone from time of peace and then it swings right back to a time of unrest. In the world, there's always something going on in the world. And so we know that these human things that we try to do aren't doing it. And then if you think about, on a personal level, finding peace, it's not by living in the right neighborhood or wearing the right clothes or even having the right kind of investments
or the right kind of job, and peace doesn't come by trading in your spouse maybe for another one who you think might be make you happier or nicer or younger. You just or what happens is these things that we do as humans in the world, what happens is they kind of put a patch on things for a time. And then all of a sudden, our hunger, our desire, our anxiety, it returns. And so we go back into this state that's so far from peace. And so our question is, where is this peace to be found? And the answer today was in our scriptures. Peace comes with repentance, turning toward God and living in Christ. Or to use the way that John the Baptist put it, peace comes by preparing a highway for the coming of the Lord our God. Now let's look at Scripture and see what Isaiah has to say in verse 17 through 18. He says, "The fruit of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. My people will live in peaceful dwellings, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest." Yes, Isaiah the prophet forecast this peace, but how do we attain it? Well, this fruit that he talks about is peace. You know, when we read this stories, these scriptures on the second Sunday of Advent, it's a deliberate thing. It's something we need to hear. If you think about, once again, what Abraham and the prophets have said about peace, it's not who you are or who you descended from or what you do. Peace is found with keeping repentance. And what that means for us is this, is focusing on conscious acts of love. Deliberate acts of forgiveness, prayer, devotion, and daily turning and opening to God. Now listen to that again. Peace is found in keeping with repentance. And repentance means we turn in conscious acts of love and we offer forgiveness and daily turn ourselves and open to God. And as we listen to that, John the Baptist, I loved playing that clip for you today because he's pretty bombastic in the way he speaks. And he's harsh. And I believe that he's harsh not because he wanted to scare them off or scare us off, but he wants us to understand what's really at stake. Our salvation. What's really going on. It's not simply about the wrath to come, but the wrath that's already here, and how we can escape that wrath and be filled with the peace of God. When you look at your life and you think of the things that haven't worked out, the things that just became unraveled, do you have any doubt that the axe is here? When you think of evil in the world, do you see a need for good fruit that can only come from good seed? Because as we say, we reap what we sow. And so our prayer is that as we hear this word of God on this second Sunday of Advent, that our minds may grow and produce good fruit in our lives. And that's what repentance is all about. It's turning to God, yearning to God, and allowing God to work focused on righteousness. And when John talks about preparing the way of the Lord, he's very strong about it. But when we talk about repentance, about turning towards God, and we talk about that forgiveness, I find sometimes that as humans, you know, we take forgiveness to a certain level, and then God wants us to advance it to another level, and that's where we get stuck. And that's where we get in trouble. And sometimes I think when we look at, like I said, what we do in the world, what we do in our personal lives, we want to repent, we want to turn towards God, but we only do it to a certain point. And then, like I said, things come tumbling back on us, and we never really, really receive the peace that God and the Holy Spirit can give us. Paul in the Romans says this scripture, he says, May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so you may overflow with hope by the power of His Holy Spirit. May He fill you with joy and peace as you trust in Him, so you may overflow with hope. That's how we're to love in that manner. And there's people all over the world today that still need the message of salvation, that still need this message of peace that God offers to us. You know, peace comes from walking in the light and obeying the commandments Christ has given us. And one of the things that constantly challenges me every Advent when we light that candle, we light that candle of hope first, and then we light that candle of peace. And I don't know about you, but when we talk about peace on earth and peace in our lives, why is it at the holiday times things come up in our minds that aren't peaceful? Or we think about maybe those relationships or situations that still haven't been resolved. We think about why can't we feel that peace within our hearts that Christ offers to us. Well, I think it all comes back to repentance. Turning towards God. I like that word turning, but I like that word yearning for God and allowing Him to work in our hearts. You know, a very wise person once told me this. As a clinician and as a pastor, says, if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at will change. Expanding our vision to see a future. And see, that's what happens when we repent, when we turn towards God. God has a way of infusing in our lives and in our spirits a new way of looking at things. And it's just amazing to me that the power that comes to us during the holiday season of the Holy Spirit that we need to unleash, that power that is going to help us change the way we look at things, because those things that we maybe we felt that we were stuck with or we're stuck in or we can't resolve, the Prince of Peace comes and opens a new way, a new future, so that we don't have to be constantly held back. And we can move forward to God's desires. Now, my friends, one of the things that both scriptures today said to us is that God has a plan and a future for us. He's not done with us. One of the messages of Isaiah and John the Baptist when he says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, because God isn't finished with us. He has so many works to work in us and through us. And we are His vessels. You know, finding peace is something that we all strive for, something we all yearn for. And those who have found it will tell you this: it comes in complete surrender to God Almighty, putting our agendas down and turning towards Him and seeing the vision that He has before us. Often people will ask me, how do I know what the right decision is in my life? How do I know if what I'm doing is the right thing? And one of the things I'll go back to all the time is, do you feel at peace? That's the biggest indicator. Do you feel at peace? Is your heart settled? Do you feel the presence of God working in you? If that's not the case, then you need to pull back and look at this again and look at whatever situation it is that you're facing. Because God has a vision for you. God has a vision for us. And that's kind of what John the Baptist was saying. He was saying, get out of these lives that you're living. Get out of the doldrums that you've put yourself into. Repent. Because God's kingdom is here, and God's kingdom is not just in heaven. It's right before us in His power, in His presence. And God will expand our vision so that we can see things in a new way. So as we come to a close on this second Sunday of Advent, the Sunday of Peace, I want you to think about God coming to earth as Emmanuel. God coming to earth and the peace that he offers us. So I'd like to close today with a song for you. And what we have in front of us today is a wonderful sign of hope and peace. Emmanuel, God with us. May you be blessed by the hearing of this. A sign shall be given, a virgin will conceive, a human baby bearing undiminished deity. The glory of the nations, a light for all to see. Very human form of one was sent for you and me, Emmanuel. Our God is with us, and if God is with us, who could stand against us? Our God is with us, Emmanuel. So what shall be your answer? Or will you hear the call of him who did not spare his son, but gave him for us all? On earth there is no power, there is no depth or height could ever separate us from the love of God in Christ. Emmanuel, our God is with us, and if God is with us, who can stand against us? Our God is with us, Emmanuel. For all those who stumble in the shadow of death, a glorious light has dawned. For all those who walk in the darkness, behold, your light has come. God is with us, and if God is with us, who can stand against us? Our God is with us, Emmanuel. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. God, we ask for your peace. Lord, we know that if you were for us, no one can keep that peace from us. No one can stand against us. Thank you, Lord, for your word and your guidance and your peace.